We've been talking about authority. I'm going to pray and we'll get started here in this message, but I'm going to start right here. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth of it. We thank you, Father, that you'll speak to us today and bring forth that truth for each and every heart, each individual, Father, that is present this morning, that's listening. We thank you. We give you glory. We give you praise. In Jesus' mighty name, open our eyes, Father. Help us to see the truth and continue to walk in it and make it our own. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, some people would say, well, Pastor Doug, you've been talking about authority, yeah, for a while. Last week, we were in Ephesians chapter 1, chapter 2, where we saw what? The greatness of his power that's already on the inside of you. He said it's that same as the resurrection power that lived in Jesus. Hallelujah. That's, if you want that verse, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 there, where he said it is that same power. See, that power is working in you. Now that power is a continual power. Energeia, it's a working power, a display of power or energy, showing it shows a display of God's power. In other words, a continual power. It's kind of like if you plug into an electric outlet, there's just a continuous flow, isn't there? There's not a big explosion, but there's a continuous flow that works in us. And that's the power he's saying, that same power. The kind of power that raised Jesus from the dead raised you from spiritual death to spiritual life. It's the same power working in you. Then we went on and we saw where Jesus was. He's what's seated far above all principality and power. And then as we go into chapter 2 of Ephesians, we realized that we are seated with him. Down there in the 6th and 7th verse, that we were buried with him. We're raised up with him. And we are seated with Christ. Where? Far above all the power of the enemy. Jesus, who has all power, amen, and we're in him. So it's really, you're saying, well, if I'm seated with him, what am I doing here on the earth? Well, it is a place, what the Bible calls, that is a, you know, it's a spiritual thing. It is where you belong. It is God who raised you from death to life. And now you can rest in the finished work of Christ from a seated position. And that he has destroyed what? Principalities and powers. And now what? You and I, we reign with him over all the power of the enemy. In other words, he has power, but he disarmed him. In other words, the devil may be here, but you're over him. Your authority is greater than his. He is the God of this world, but you and I are with Christ. We have a heavenly kingdom. We have received a new spirit on the inside of us. We were changed from darkness to light, no longer bound to the laws of this natural world, but we have laws that supersede this world. The law of the Spirit of life now lives in you. And it's greater than the law of sin and death. And you can reign as one in Christ. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. Now, I just want to say this for a minute. You can sometimes, anybody ever feel fear in your life? You ever feel afraid? I remember one time I was at home and I was in my apartment alone. I was home all alone. My wife wasn't there. And I would swear I thought in my mind, I heard something at the door. I heard somebody playing with the doorknob and fear started coming to me. I don't know why I was afraid. Sometimes there's nothing really to be afraid of. And I mean, it took all the power in me. And finally, I got up enough nerve and I opened the door and nobody was there. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody ever felt that though? You ever felt that kind of fear? Maybe you didn't know why it was even there. Bible says there's a spirit of fear that lurks around and tries to make us afraid. But we have peace You know, we can sometimes feel afraid in the natural. Things can look scary to us. You know, when I first started driving a car, I was a little bit nervous. There was a little bit of fear there. And maybe that's a good thing. You know, it's something to think about. Why? Because we could cause damage to someone else. But even though we have fear on the outside, we can have the peace of God down in our spirit if we'll listen. We can have peace on the inside of our spirit. And so we want to keep our focus on God in His Word. Because God is the source of all authority and all dominion. And when we keep our eyes on Him, see, we're not really operating in our power. We're operating in His power. God gave Him power over all the power of the enemy. And He says, I deputize you, in other words. We could say, God says, you're my son, you're my daughter, and because of that, I am giving you authority. In other words, the delegated authority. That's what authority is, delegated power, okay, to walk in this world over all the power of the enemy. And we saw that in Colossians 2 last time. Let's look at that, Colossians 2:14. Yeah, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I prayed. Y'all are believing with me, right? Hallelujah for utterance. Good utterance here. It says, but blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Verse 15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it, or disarming their power, disarming them. They no longer have that power over you and I. He disarmed. He made a spectacle of them. In other words, the devil can't just come and kill you, can he? He doesn't have that much power. His power is limited. He has a certain, the Bible says, one of His names is that He is the God of this earth. He is the God of the earth, the prince of the power of the air. That means He's limited to this lower earthly region. He doesn't have the authority that you do because you became a son. And really, you took His place. Hallelujah. Revelation, let's go to Revelation 19:6 for a minute, because I was trying to remind us, it is not just your power. See, what gives you that power is who's backing you up. Amen. Who gives a policeman the power to arrest you if you do wrong? Is it not the city? It is the citizens. It is the people of that city. That city or that county or whatever it is, you know, maybe they're an Elgin County policeman or a city policeman. The city says, we are giving you authority to do certain things, to enforce what? The law. And you and I, we enforce God's law over the enemy. Did you know there's laws with God? Yeah, His law. What is it? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. That means there is therefore now no condemnation. When the devil comes to condemn me, I can say, no, I don't have condemnation. You stop. You desist in your maneuvers against me. God does not condemn me. He has made me righteous. Hallelujah. But first of all, we're saying that it is His power, God's power. Revelations 19, verse 6. Revelation 19:6. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Well, what does that mean? Omnipotent is a big word. It just means all powerful. The Lord God, all-powerful, reigns. He rules. Like a king reigns, God rules. In other words, He has all power in heaven and in the earth and under the earth. But He has chosen to delegate the power on earth to man. His power to be displayed and to be proclaimed and to be used, He's given it to man. All men, some are full of sin, and depending on who trained them, then they'll use it in a godly way or an ungodly way. Amen. How many know we see that in history? How many have ever heard of a man named Hitler try to take over the world? That's what caused what? World War II, wasn't it? He was trying to get all the people together. He trained some people with a death nature. They didn't know God. And they could kill people, didn't bother them, didn't think about it. Didn't bother them at all. Now some of the people later on at home found out about what was going on. You know, he wanted to, what, extinguish all the Jews, and they would just take him places. And I mean, he got people to work for him and do all this killing. That's why he finally had to be stopped. Amen. Thank God he was. It was very close at different times. And some probably thought, well, it's going to happen and maybe this is the end. But God, God's power is greater. There were men and women also that prayed during that time. They began to seek God. They began to intercede. And things did take place. I don't know if you've ever heard of that with the intercessor. There's a book out by Reese Howell, and he talks a lot about that, where they gathered and they spent many days, many nights praying, fasting, seeking God, believing for the enemy and the power and the corruption to be revealed to them. And they begin to see different things, and they found different things, and it caused an end to the war eventually. Hallelujah. Ultimately. But it was a battle. It was not just a physical battle, but there's a spiritual battle involved. You know, there's a lot of physical things that take place in this earth that start in the realm of the spirit. The devil begins to stir people up. See, he can't just do things. He has to use a human just like God does. And he stirs people up. And he takes their nature. When it's a death nature, he can take them over. He can give them ideas. You know, he doesn't always control every little thing. Just like you and I, we have to decide to yield to God, don't we? Some decide to yield to evil powers. They may or may not realize it. Hallelujah. But here we see that, first of all, we want to keep our focus on what? On God and His Word. Why? Because this world system is subject to you and I. God reigns, all powerful. Amen. And when we look over here in, let's look over to Romans 5 for a minute. It talks about you. Verse 17, Romans 5:17 says, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ." In other words, he's talking about who brought the first death? Adam, right? And death reigned because Adam sinned. Because of his sin. Okay? As therefore, as verse 18 says, "Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation." That was Adam's sin. "Even so, by the righteousness of one, Jesus Christ," right? "The free gift came upon all men unto justification of life," or you became right with God. But here he says, in verse 17, it says, "They which receive the abundance of grace and gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ." Or in the Amplified, it says, "You shall reign as kings in life." How many know that a king has a domain? What happens in the kingdom? Whatever the king says, right? Whatever the king says goes. How many of you realize that you are a king and a priest to God? Amen. You are his son and daughter, but you also reign in life. You have the authority in your life. You have authority to speak the truth of what God's word says and to keep our focus on him. And when we realize what he says, then we can speak what he says and we can cause things to change in our life. You see, God works in the earth one way, and that's with words. He doesn't work two ways. He works with words. How did he create the world? Who knows how God created the world? We all do, don't we? In the beginning, what God said. It was with God. The Word was with him. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then he began to speak, didn't he? He said, light be. And what happened? Light became. Because he reigns. He's all powerful. He reigns in his kingdom. And then he said, now you're going to reign in life on the earth, men and women, sons and daughters of God. You will reign. You have a dominion. You have a domain that's called your life. In other words, in you, what's in you? We have basically, what does our life consist of? Faith in God, right? Our faith, our walk with God, right? Our family, our friends. Our finances, our fitness, how fit are we, right? And our entertainment or the things we do to have fun. That's pretty much your life, isn't it? Isn't that pretty much everybody's life here? You know, are there other things? Maybe there's a few, you know, but usually we're just out, we're working on our health, or you're working, you know, with your family, you have family things that you do and have to take care of. You have your finances, you have, you know, we all have to stay physically, a certain amount of physical fitness in our life. Amen. Hallelujah. Whether you do it or not, you know, that's up to us, right? How many know it's up to us if we're fit or not? If you take a walk every day, you know, and walk 20 minutes, well, what do you do? No, I don't do anything. That's okay. God gives you that responsibility, though. That's you're allowed. The Bible says that godliness profits every area of our life. You know, physical fitness, it profits somewhat. It profits in this life, doesn't it? Keeps our body in shape a little bit. Take a walk, take care of ourselves. But that's basically our life. And we are the ones. We're the kings. We're the ones. You're the one that has the rule in your life. You have the rule with God. When we look to what God's law says. See, the law of the spirit of life says sickness and disease has no place in me. It says, you have all authority over all the work of the enemy. Well, how do you know that's the work of the enemy? Acts 10:38. Ooh, this is 2 weeks in a row. I'm off my notes. Hallelujah. That's okay. I got my notes. They're right here. These are really my notes. Right here. Acts 10:38. Who knows what that says? It says, here it is, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. In other words, he says he goes about, he did good, and he started healing people. That would mean if he's healing them that are oppressed of the devil, then sickness is an oppression of Satan. Not something from God to endure. It's an oppression of the devil, isn't it? And you and I have authority over it. Because God, Jesus said, we learned last time, Matthew 28, right? The end of the chapter. He said, all authority was given to me, now you go. Now you go, you and I, we go into this life. He said, I delegate you. I give you that power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so there's different types of His power that is displayed. See, God created. He made light, didn't He? He did some other things with His power. And here we see that Jesus went about doing good. Amen. And He does good. Everything He did was good. His tender mercies contain all of His good works. Jesus went about doing good in healing all that were oppressed of Satan. Every person that came to Jesus to be healed, how many were healed? All were healed. You say, well, I haven't had all healed, but if we come to Jesus. You see, you can come to me, but I don't really have, I just have delegated power, and I can help you. But how many know it is really the law of faith that destroys the work of the enemy? You know, the law of faith is greater than Satan's law. It's a law. If we believe in our heart and say with our mouth that Jesus, amen, we speak to the mountain. We believe in our heart and we speak with our mouth. We use our words. We say, mountain of sickness, leave me. Mountain, whatever your problem is. Mountain of fear, depart from me. Mountain of depression, you leave me in the name of Jesus. I believe. Mountain of condemnation, you go. Because I am not under condemnation. I'm in Christ Jesus. Now listen, if you're bound in sin, I understand. How many know that there is a law of sin and death still in this world and it can affect our body? And if we give in to it, if we live in it, it can control us to some degree. But that doesn't mean that God didn't set you free. The ability for you to be free is in you. The greater one lives on the inside of you. And part of it's going to be realizing who you are. See, there's some things you won't do because if you really understand that I've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He gave me a gift of His righteousness, not mine. See, Paul talked about that. He said, not my own righteousness, not that of mine, but His righteousness. How many want to be right with God? You see, the key and what God wanted was perfection. He demanded perfection. And you and I didn't have the righteousness of perfection. No man on the earth could find the righteousness of perfection. Because the Bible said all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Well, who's the glory of God? Isn't that Jesus? We have fallen short of Him. Because He came. That's why He came. To fulfill the law perfectly. And to pay the price. Because it had to be someone that was perfect to pay the price for man. He had to be perfect. No man could be perfect. And nobody in here can do perfection like Jesus did. He did not sin. The Bible said He was tempted. So that means He could have sinned. He wanted to do some things wrong, but He didn't. He never gave in to it. And because of that, we receive His right standing with God. He cleanses us and He says, I give you my righteousness. And I go, now I can come. Now you and I, because He made you right with God. Through Jesus, by believing that He was that righteous sacrifice. He was the righteous substitute for you and I. By believing that. We receive His righteousness and we can go boldly to the throne of God. We can come boldly to His grace and it says, what? To ask for help in our time of need. Whatever it is we need, we now have that right. Jesus was enough. He paid the price for sin. He paid the price for sickness. He paid the price of poverty. He became poor for you that you through His poverty might be rich. He became sick for you so that you might walk in health. He bore our sicknesses and carried their pains, and by His stripes we were healed. When we realize what belongs to us, And we realize who paid the price. That's really what sets us free. And we realize it is by His sacrifice I've been made free. Now I have to learn what to walk in that freedom. Amen. That's my responsibility, is to find out who He is, what He's done, and that He has really made me free. Glory to God. Anyway, hallelujah. You see, Acts chapter 1:8, He said that we'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. To be what? To be a witness. It's one way that God uses His power. He uses it to display His goodness, and that we might get to know Him and have a power to be a witness. Let's read one. And so we've been talking about that a little bit more on Wednesday nights, but it is there when we know Him. We walk with Him. We receive power. After that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You'll be witnesses to me in your home, in Jerusalem, or in your life. Amen. That's number one, isn't it? We have to present ourselves. We have to decide, I'm going to lay my life down for Him. And when we do that, then what? His power becomes available. There's a power that set us free. Let's go to Romans chapter 6. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. When we realize where we are, who we are, the freedom that He's given us, the authority that He paid, that He's all-powerful, and our eyes are stayed on Jesus, on God, in His Word, what He has said, that He seated me with Him. I have all the power over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall any means hurt us. Verse 14 says, for sin shall not have dominion over you. You're not under law, but under grace. What is it then? We sin because we're not under law, but under grace. God forbid. We don't start sinning because God says, well, my grace is sufficient for you. No, no, no. Don't you know that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, His servants you are to whom you obey, whether sin to death or obedience to righteousness. But God be thanked that you were servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of teaching or doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, you became servants of righteousness. And now our inner man wants to do what's right. It really wants to do what's right, but our outward man sometimes gives us trouble. It draws us what? Into temptation. James said, through the desires, the lusts of our flesh. We don't war against we don't war against man, do we? But we do have wars against the enemy. We are in a battle. We are in a fight. There is a fight, a believer's warfare, that takes place. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. All right, I've got about 10 minutes here. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hang with me. Everybody hang on. Get ready. It says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for our weapons, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, what is a stronghold? A stronghold is a system of thought that is empowered by an emotion. It's something that we think about. Most strongholds are built in our mind. They're built in our will. You know, our mind's been thinking on certain things. And sometimes they get built. Why? Because the enemy over your life has taught you to do something. Maybe that wasn't right. Even before you were saved. Maybe, let me just give something real simple. An example, like smoking. Okay? Let's say somebody's smoking, right? They can't quit smoking. Why? Because their body's craving it. Is their spirit craving smoke from a cigarette? No, their body is, okay? Their body is desiring that, but it's all has something to do here with this mind. They've been doing it so long, they have trained their body to pull in smoke, you know, and inhale it and exhale it. Just as a habit. It becomes a habit to them. And so habits then, as they do them long enough, they can become a stronghold. How many know at first? Somebody might start, see, I could probably smoke a cigarette, but it doesn't mean I'd be hooked on cigarettes, does it? No, I wouldn't. But if I keep doing it, then what happens? It becomes a habit and I get hooked and I can't get away from it. Or sometimes people get things given to them. You know, I remember, a friend of mine, well, you know, he started looking at pornography at 3 years old because his father had books out. And he was introduced to it by his father at 3 years old. That could become a stronghold in someone's life. Why? Because they don't understand. It started out, at first he didn't understand it. But later in life, you know, it becomes what? Pleasurable. It becomes something they want to do. And he wanted to keep doing that. And it took a while. But through faith in God and praying in the Spirit, building our spirit, what? Above the things that this flesh desires. You know, our flesh desires to what? It wants a third piece of pie. You know, you already had your two, your second one. But now it wants a third one. Ever been there? You know, you want that third one. You know, and God, you know, I'm just giving an example. I'm not saying that's everybody. Not everybody here is smoking, are you? I hope not. Maybe nobody. If you are, we can help you. You know. Hallelujah. But God's, the first thing is we need to understand that God really, in our spirit, he set us free. And we want to get that power working out here where our body is. And that's part of two things. Praying in the spirit, building up yourself in your most holy faith, but also speaking words, speaking the word of God. Father, I want to thank you. If you're bound on a cigarette or whatever it is, I am free. Thank you, Lord. You light up a cigarette. Thank you, Father, that I'm free from smoking. It may take you a few weeks, but you'll get there. You'll be free of that, whatever it is. Thank you, Father. I'm free from that craving of chocolate, whatever it may be. Thank you, Father, that I'm free from pornography, even if you're still bound in it. And you're still there when we begin to start out. It starts out with one thing, and that is words. Your words begin to have power in your life. And you can have what you say if you'll believe in your heart that God is with me. God is for me. I don't have to be afraid of this thing. God is not afraid of your stronghold. God is not embarrassed with whatever problem you have. He's trying to take us to that place where we walk in the freedom. We walk in the freedom over all the power of the enemy. There's a reason that I'm teaching this right now. I know it for sure. I'm telling you, his power, Satan's power is not going to come less. It's going to become more as we enter more and more into these end times. And we're going to have to be free from that spirit of fear. We don't have to fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but what of power, authority, dominion over all the power of the enemy. And sometimes he comes at us through nature. He came at Jesus through nature. Remember, we talked last time or a couple of weeks ago in Mark where they were going to the other side. Jesus had said, go to the other side, and the storm came. And Jesus didn't pat the disciples on the head. Oh, you've tried and worked so hard. When we work in the flesh, it produces nothing. But when we begin to work with the words that God has given us, and we get a hold of the truth of God's word, no, I'm not going to let the enemy condemn me. I'm going to walk as a righteous son of the living God. I'm going to walk in holiness. God has made me holy. And I'm going to take his word and I'm going to speak it over my life. And if you need help in getting some scriptures in some areas, we will help you. We will help you get that down and get that started and get you walking and getting our minds, what? Stayed on him. Changing our thinking. Hallelujah. Because that's what's going to have to happen. We got to get it renewed to what God has said. Not to where we're just, see, just getting the Bible in you, knowledge in you, is not going to renew your mind. You have to start doing it. You see, I can get all these scriptures in my mind, but I have to start speaking it at some point. That is the first step of my doing it. Being a doer of what God said. Becoming a doer. See, putting the breastplate of righteousness is not me standing here, oh Lord, I put on the breastplate of righteousness. No, it's taking God's word. Saying, no, He made me the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I thank you, Father, that I'm righteous because of that precious blood alone. Because of what Jesus did at the cross. And I'm standing on what you have said, that you have forgiven my sins as far as the east is from the west. I have confessed my sin and you are faithful and just to forgive me. You said there is therefore now no condemnation for them which are in Christ Jesus. I am not condemned because I've been made right with God. I refuse to walk in that. My spirit man has been made new. I'm a new creation. I'm a son of the living God. I've been adopted by my Father. My Father receives me and accepts me. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for your righteousness. See, that is how we defeat the devil. And that's what we're talking about here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We read 3 and 4, the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, verse 4, but they're mighty through God to the tearing down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's good. We have to gain knowledge. Knowledge is very helpful. But we've got to put that knowledge to work. Hallelujah. And sometimes it doesn't take a lot of verses. Just a few. If you got 3 or 4 or 5, that's great. That's enough to work with. Enough to get started. Enough to begin. To begin whatever it is in your life that you need to defeat. Whether it's sin, whether it's something else, you know, whether it's a habit like smoking. I mean, that's kind of a sin, I guess, if it destroys your body. You know, my father smoked. I smoked right behind him for 16 years. Not really. I didn't smoke the cigarettes. I mean, the secondhand smoke. You know? And finally, I talked him into quitting. Thank you, Jesus. I remember being about 6 years old, and I couldn't figure out why in the world I'd ride in the back seat of the car. And I'd get sick to my stomach after a while, about 30, 40 minutes. I'm riding back there. Well, my father's smoking, you know, driving a car, but he's smoking. It's cold outside. But eventually, I'd roll down that window for a second. I didn't really even equate it to the smoke. I just knew it made me feel better. My stomach, I'd get sick to my stomach. Every Sunday, going to church, you know. He's smoking. I roll that window down. Who's got that window down back there? I roll that window back up. Oh, thank God it got me just a little relief, you know. My stomach felt a little bit better. But at the same time, like I said, I smoked right after him for 16 years. But praise the Lord, he finally quit. But it was a process. It was a stronghold. Something in the mind. A lot of times it has to do with the emotions. You know, people get, you know, well, I gotta have a cigarette. Yeah, they're emotionally upset. I got to get a cigarette. Why? It does something to soothe their, it's the way that they chose. Yeah. Well, what if we start learning? I've got to get a word. I've got to get God's word in me. I need to relax. Let me get a hold of what God said and bring eternal and permanent change in my life. How many know God's word settle forever? You get it in your heart. You get it in your mouth. You begin to do it and cast down those imaginations. Everything that exalts itself against God, the knowledge of God, and bring captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, things begin to change. Because we get our mind renewed to what God has said. What did God say? God said, I'm righteous. God said, I'm free. I have sin does not have authority over me. It cannot defeat me. Romans chapter 6, I'll read it again. I read it again. Lord, you have set me free. If he set me free, then he did, didn't he? Isn't he truth? The Bible says your word is truth. John 17:17, Jesus said, thy word is truth. He cannot lie. I begin to understand who my Father is. He can't lie to me. That means His word has to happen. He settled it forever. We begin to decree it, declare it. We have authority in this earth over, number one, what? Our own selves, our own life. We can rule as a king in this life. How many want to rule as a king? That means what you say goes. If you don't say anything, guess what? It doesn't go for you. But when we realize, most kings, when they finally realize, hey, I'm the king, you know, even in the Old Testament, some of the kings were, what, 7 or 8 years old. Can you imagine? Over the kingdom. You don't think about it today. Well, I want all the candy to be free. You know, you're 8 years old. All the candy is suddenly free in the nation. Just every kid can have candy free. The adults can't, but all the children, you can have free candy. You know? I mean, that's the kind of things, you know, I think of, you know. But they were really, truly ruling the nation. I'm sure they had influence from a few people. You know, but that's something to say. We have authority. We can rule our own lives. We can cast down the imaginations or the arguments of the enemy. You ever had that? You ever argue with your own mind? You know, or your mind tries to argue with you. Like I said earlier, I was receiving an argument one night there. Remember I said I felt that fear and my mind is arguing. It can't be anything. You know, but it was trying to say, oh yes, someone's at the door. Someone's trying to break in. These are the arguments of the enemy. But when we uncover his argument with the truth of God's word and we hold fast to that. Well, you're not very righteous. God's condemning you. No? No? Romans 1 says, there's therefore now no condemnation for me. I'm in Christ. 1 John 4:4, greater is he that's in me. I am of God. Amen. Year of God, little children, I'm of God. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in this world. The greater one lives in you if you look to him. I say, no, the greater one lives in me. I have authority over all the power of the enemy. God told me if I can cast down imaginations, I can take those thoughts captive. I can stop the things that exalt itself against the truth of God's word. See, when we're putting on the armor of God, that's when we know what it is. We know what righteousness is. We know what the truth is. We know what our salvation is. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, that's putting on the armor of God. Well, the helmet of salvation, well, what would that be? God saved me. God forgave me. I've been made free. I'm a son of God. I'm a child of God. I'm a joint heir with Jesus. I'm more than a conqueror. His salvation reigns over me from the top of my head on down. We talked about salvation, preservation, safety, deliverance, soundness, healing. God's provision for us. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I could keep preaching, but we're going to stop there for today and think about what you're thinking about. It starts in our thoughts, doesn't it? Think about what you're thinking about. What am I thinking about, Lord, when this thing comes upon me? And if we don't allow ourselves to keep going down that direction, you can stop it. With your words. And sometimes it's a praise. Do you know what happens to your thoughts when you start praising God? If you really start thanking Him. Hallelujah! If I yell hallelujah, what's going to happen to my thoughts? They're going to stop. They're going to think about what I'm saying. And sometimes I have to get a little bit loud. Because my emotions sometimes are deaf. But if I get a little louder, it stops my thoughts. And I can take them captive. And if I'll be persistent and do it consistent, I can bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And I can change my domain because I'm the king. I have what I say. I can walk in authority. How about you? Amen. You have authority. All right. Father, we thank you for your word today that you have given us that ability, Father. There is a warfare, Lord, that we fight. But Lord, you have given us victory. You have all power over all the power of the enemy. You are the all-powerful one. And when we look to you, Father, when we look to what you have said, we can rule and reign as kings in life. Hallelujah, over all the power of the enemy. Yes, we have an enemy, Lord, but we also have the victory living in us. We've got the greater one with us and in us, Lord. And we're asking you, Holy Spirit, to help us as we build ourselves up in the Spirit, as we get ourselves acquainted with you, and as we allow the Word of God to begin to change our minds and our hearts, Lord. And we actually become fully free in every area of our life. Lord, we want to say yes to you in every area of our life. We want to say yes to you today. I want to be free. I'm going to walk free, Lord. I'm going to walk in the freedom that you've given. You see, even though there was freedom into the promised land, there were still giants in that promised land. They had to be run out. And sometimes we have to run the giants out of our land. We have to know who our God is. Like David knew who his God was. That was the difference between David and the rest of the Israelites. He'd been out playing his harp and praising God. How big God was. How awesome you are. What a great covenant I have with you, God. And I'm looking to you. And you begin to see that problem. He began to see that giant as a small problem. And he said, I'm not coming to you in my name. I'm not coming to you in my power. But I'm coming to you in the authority and the power that God has given me, the all-powerful one. And I'm going to feed your carcass to the fowls of the air today. And he did. He went after that giant. He killed it. And he cut its head off and took it back. And of course, all of Israel was excited. You know, sometimes we can get excited. We should. Somebody else got their victory, but you can have your victory today. You can fight that giant. You have that ability. You have the Word of God, the stones of the Word of God. They're the stones that we put in our sling. And we start throwing them at that enemy. Until it falls in our life. We take authority over those thoughts that keep trying to come, and we cast them down with the truth of God's word of who we really are. And we walk in that victory. Hallelujah. And if that's you today, just say, Lord, I'm going to get myself stirred up. I'm going to use what God has given me. I'm going to take my thoughts captive. I'm going to destroy these strongholds in my life. Hallelujah. I'm going to find out who I am, who I really am. That God loves me, number one. God loves me. Yes, you. Yes, but you don't know what I do. Even while we were yet sinners, he died for you. He loves you. Behold the manner of love the Father has bestowed upon you. Now you are a son and daughter of God. Regardless of the struggle, regardless of what it is, he loves you so much. He wants to walk with you in that struggle to help you overcome. Amen. If you're here today, you say, well, I just need grace to overcome. I'm going to pray. If you want hands laid on you, you can come up and sit in the front row. We don't have to lay a hand on you if you receive grace, but we'll be glad to. If you'd like extra help, you can come up and sit one of these chairs up front here. We'll pray for you specifically if you have something you want specific prayer for. But right now, let's just take one hand, just lift it up to heaven. See, I'm not giving it to you. It's coming from him. And let's just believe that God will give us. We're going to have a divine exchange. My weakness, Lord, for your strength. my weakness, Lord, whatever it is, for your strength, Father. Father, we lift our hand today, Lord. We surrender today. We ask you to forgive us today, Lord, for our shortcoming, for the weakness in our life. And we're asking you for your strength, Father, for your grace that comes on the inside of us, that you'll empower us, Lord, and help us as we begin the battle process, Lord, of overcoming strongholds in our mind and in our life. And we thank you for that grace to come down on the inside, Lord, to strengthen us, to encourage us, and to help us. In the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you for that now. Grace to each and every one to enter in and to use what God has given us, his word, to overcome every stronghold in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And if you need help on getting some scriptures in an area, you just let us know, let me know, or call the church. We'll help you get some scriptures and see those scriptures. You say, well, what is those scriptures going to do? It's going to build faith in you, number one. I'm not going to give you 100. You just need a good 4 or 5 to start with. David took 5 stones and defeated Goliath and possibly even his brothers. That's what some think. Why did he take 5? Because he had 4 brothers. Hallelujah. But he went and he killed. Once he killed Goliath, they probably ran. Amen. So, praise God. All right.